tree plantings. It's planting season. So some tree plantings. We got 27 going in this week with the tree trust fund money that had been allocated previously. And you'll see them going in at Catalonia Square there on 12th Avenue, East Fisher Street between 10th and 11th, East Bars Street between 9th and 11th, and the northwest corner of West DeSoto and Northeast Street. And that was part of the funding approved by City Council in phase two of that tree canopy revitalization project.
That was Mayor D.C. Reeves yesterday during his press conference. And this is really, in my mind, anytime we're planting trees, that's good news, period, right? That's a good thing. Not only City Council planting with some of the tree planting trust fund, but there's a roughly $1 million grant that we're using trees to plant as well. Joining us now, we have Mayor D.C. Reeves. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you. And like everything that you do, you have a plan, you have a study, you have a methodology, and no different when it comes to tree planting. You didn't just randomly get out a map and say, you know, I'd like to see more trees here. The plan is guided based on a survey, right?
Exactly. And hopefully in 2 years, we've tried to reinforce to as many people exactly that, whether it's the $1 million we just spent in paving roads. We literally paid a study to find the condition of the road, and it wasn't because Andrew lives here or Joe lives there. You know, the theories that are out there is that we find the ones that are in the worst condition, and so now we've got the data to do it. Trees is the exact same way. We've done a cross-filtered study of what's our existing tree canopy in the city of Pensacola, where are the areas, especially in lower-income areas, where the sidewalks are 10 to 15 degrees warmer, and where strategically in those areas can we place canopy where we have the right of way, all of those type things. So we cross filter all that down to come up with a priority list. And because of that, we won $1 million grant and are able to place trees in the areas that need them the most. And so you heard me on that recording right before I came on of those locations aren't just picked out of a hat. Those are ones where we know we can put them in, where we do need shade on the sidewalk. And we've really put an emphasis on not just having shade in your neighborhood in front of your house, but also if you don't have access to a car or you bike to work, you know, what about 9th Avenue? What about 12th Avenue? Those are the conversations that we're having is what is the human experience of on our sidewalks and how can we keep you cool and keep you safe between walking and biking and car? So excited that so these 27 trees already funded through the traditional trust fund. And then what you mentioned will get us at least 250 trees over the next 18 wow. months will be that $1 million grant that'll be going in. So you'll see lots and lots of plantings coming from us over the next 2 years.
No, that's great. 250 more trees is fantastic. And as you say, strategic to put shade on sidewalks, to reduce the heat signature that you have often in poorer areas that are under-treed, to enhance beauty, obviously, to mitigate stormwater. But also, and I assume this is a part of the study, you correct me if I'm wrong, but traffic safety, because we know that visibility, when you have wide open roads, people drive faster. And when you plant trees, eventually branches grow and you have people slow down because of the visual landscape that they're seeing. And that is a force towards safety as well, right?
Exactly. And not only the visual side, but on the pedestrian side, if I've got a row of trees between my sidewalk and the road, I feel more comfortable. I'm more likely to use it. I'm more likely to take my kids biking on it or walking on it. It changes the experience. It's that concept alone of why we're excited about the Sun Trail on Bayfront is, hey, we're going to keep the same number of lanes, but to have a dedicated 12-foot path, not a 4-foot path that's connected to the gutter, you know, which is what we have on Bayfront right now, but a 12-foot separated path from the road, that changes the complete dynamic of how that road will be used by pedestrians and bicyclists. So, yes, they need to be used as cover, literally and figuratively from a safety and psychology standpoint.
No, that's great. And I honestly, until you said it, I had not even thought about that, but so much better than having just a concrete, you know, rail basically there, that pedestrian safety element is important. I was downtown. We'll get to CSX refurbishment in a second, but I was in the process of shooting some video around the CSX rail refurbishment, which I think is always an amazing process. And I happened to walk past the Amtrak train station and there was a bunch of painting, it looked like, going on, or some kind of repair work. They had a big lift up. What's going on there?
Yeah, so what we're doing now is, again, we've tried to take the stance that we want to take care of things as soon as possible. And some of those, which me and you've discussed many times, were too far gone, whether it's Bay Bluffs Park or Malcolm Young. some of those, like Cobb Center, and being able to save that at a $1.7 million cost before it got too far gone. And in Amtrak's an example. This is an old building. There was a museum there for a short period of time, and there were still repairs that were needed. So we're spending $100,000 today to fix the roof, to fix the AC, all of the things that no matter what goes in there, whether somebody leases it from us, whether we put we've talked about potentially making it some type of internal use, maybe a wellness center or something like that temporarily. You know, of course, if train service came back, that would go back online. But, you know, for city employees, maybe partnering with the YMCA, we've discussed that. So we don't know exactly yet. But what we didn't want to do is have a broken roof and a broken AC where the taxpayer now is spending $400,000 to fix it versus $100,000 to fix it. So we're going to go ahead and get that envelope sealed up. And so we've got a good, you know, solid building no matter what direction we go.
Makes sense as part of the general pattern that you've shown throughout your administration. I mentioned a moment ago the CSX train rail refurbishment. I talked with guys who probably weren't supposed to talk to me, but that's okay. I don't put them on the record, but, you know, you get information in different ways, right? And the general, what was explained to me was over the next 6 weeks or so, they're going to be doing all of Escambia County. They're doing it in reverse this time, which caught us all by surprise, starting at the south and going north instead of at the north going south. But, you know, relaying the, not the ties, not the railroad rails themselves, but everything else is being refurbished. Any given intersection is going to be closed for 2 to 3 days, depending on size, scope, material, and all of that stuff. And rain, water puts them back a couple of days. But my one question is, how much do they interact with you so that you can plan around this? And what do you have to do if they do it badly? Because we saw at airport last time, and I went out and shot video showing the cars ramp jumping at airport when they did it badly the first time. Thank goodness the pressure put on them got them to come back and do it right the second time. But is there quality control from the city's perspective at these crossings that are being refurbished?
I mean, you really have to go back and understand, you know, the ownership of rail limits what cities and counties can do big time. So, you know, we get an email a few days in advance or, you know, a week in advance that says we're going to be doing this work. And, you know, FDOT over the years has gotten really good at it where they've, you know, 2-3 weeks out. Because, I mean, think about the amount of PR and public information work we would have to do to make all 55,000 citizens aware of closures in our city with 7 days notice. I mean, we would literally have to have an advertising budget to do that. I mean, it would be impossible to get that word out. So we do, you know, we send a press release out and all that. We do the best we can. And then I got emails, you know, of course, understandably frustrated emails where it's shut down at Wright Street and, you know, everything else. And so, you know, it's, you hate saying, oh, well, you know, sorry, that's not us. But, you know, in a lot of ways, that's kind of the case, especially with rail. Certainly, we have some say if there is a negative change to the accessibility of our roads after the fact. But when they do the work, you know, how long it takes them, those types of things, the relationship between rail ownership and, you know, rules and that go back decades of time, centuries of time, you know, kind of limit us on what kind of leverage we have to dictate when and where.
Okay. Yeah, which is understandable. I mean, the railroad through federal law, I mean, all kinds of things are in place to protect them. Right. I will say the one thing that we sometimes forget is this is important work. You know, it is a public safety element, keeping the train safe, keeping the crossing safe. And I appreciate that. In fact, when I was walking up and down looking at the equipment and talking to the guys, and I would tell them, hey, thanks for keeping our rail crossing safe. You could see they about fell over. You know, these are guys who nobody ever says thank you to. Right. And they could go, what? And I'm like, yeah, well, you're doing an
They're
important
like, who's
work.
This guy?
Yeah, exactly. Lights go on tonight downtown on Palafox, right?
Yeah, the official lighting's this afternoon. I know it's on my calendar from 3 to 5. I think the actual ceremony is closer to 5 o'clock. Obviously, it gets darker, so we'll be out there. I have a feeling the Grinch will be out there again. No guarantees. I haven't seen the RSVP, but it always a great time, and we had a great turnout last year. And getting ready for the holiday season downtown. We have the lights up all year now, of course, but we'll have some additional holiday stuff going. So excited for that.
Bruce Beach having the official grand opening on Friday. You talked a little bit about the Grand Hotel, which is in process. You, of course, don't own it, but it was good news to hear that, you know, things are still happening. They're still, you know, trying to take care of all of that sort of stuff and, you know, make it happen. Mural Fest was great. You know, Fufu Fest is, I mean, like lots. This is a good time of year for the city, right?
Yeah, well, and you know what? Mural Fest, I think, is even a bigger, interesting thing to me. There's nothing better than the organic growth of an area of your city, meaning it's not even that it takes city government injection funds or state government funds, but the idea that businesses and restaurants and art pop up organically, right? And then, so now there's conversations. You know, Brancas is our western gate to the military base, a huge chunk of our county. And, you know, for a long time, it's been a 5-6-lane road, not real pedestrian friendly, not a lot of commercial activity, a lot of industrial type activity over there.
Very, very ugly. Really, Brancas is very ugly, right?
Exactly. And you're starting to see that change. And by the way, Brancas, unlike a lot of those big thoroughfares, is a city road. We had taken ownership of that not too long ago, several years. But so, you know, we're even having conversations and saying, man, there's nothing more fun than injecting more energy into an area that is already seeing organic demand, right?
Yeah.
You know, so we've had conversations of, you know, hey, is there some, you know, housing for active duty military type opportunities over there that can, you know, be part of the city? So we're looking at it as things like Mural Fest and again, restaurants and event centers and all that are all popping up in that area. And so that's great. We're really excited about the growth that we're seeing over there.
No, it's definitely a revitalizing area. And I love to see it. Your vision and goals for the city has come out, a survey that was about 1700 people. And you've got your attainable housing, safe streets for all modalities of traffic, youth experience, resilient waterfront, walkability, public spaces that connect communities, thriving innovation, business and neighborhoods that celebrate culture and honor legacy. You know, big 30,000 foot view kind of stuff, but also gives you a target to aim at. What was surprising to you?
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't say any of those eight things were surprising. Like, how did that even show up? It was more of some of the priorities, you know, how heavy the priorities are. You know, I'm a big walkability person, but I think it really shows in the data how serious that is. And the access to waterfront, we've seen that in some previous surveys. But, you know, I would say we knew everybody was going to talk about housing, of course.
Yeah,
that was a no-brainer, you know, top, you know, public safety, of course. The idea of having little pockets of kind of neighborhoods within neighborhoods or little commercial centers within places other than downtown, like, you know, it's a cool concept and it makes a lot of sense, right? That you want to be something close to your neighborhood that can be active and engaging, that isn't just our downtown. I thought that's an interesting concept. Kind of talking about Brancas might be a good example.
Yeah, no, that's great.
And so, you know, but bottom line is this, you know, kind of like the, you know, every time you see Notre Dame go out to the field and they slap the play like a champion today sign, that's the way I look at the Strive to Thrive thing, is that should be something that's front facing for every department in the city to say, this is what our citizens have told us they want. And what are we doing every day that touches one of these eight things? And that's, it's that guiding document to say, it's not just the mayor's opinion or the council's opinion, not just one citizen who emails us a lot. What we're talking about is, this is the best swath of, a largest swath of people, the most intentional we've ever been to ask our citizens what they want out of their city. And so it's super valuable for me moving forward. And I know it will be for our council, and it's something we can refer back to and say, hey, are we off base here? Is this a priority for us? So we're excited about this. And so November 12th at 5:30 at Bayview, there's Civicon, and then they'll be doing a presentation, Gail, presenting this entire strategic plan at 3:30 at the Agenda Conference next week.
That's great.
Tuesday the 12th.
That's great. And then just one of the things, it's another study, but it's a study implemented. And I see a lot of that with you. As you know, in the past, we've had a lot of studies we don't implement. Yours are being implemented, which is nice. We don't have time to get into it, but the post office is going to stay downtown. It's, you know, there's still some details, but that's good news to a lot of people who have been wanting to have that back. So lots of very, very, very good stuff happening. We always like to end with a bit of a lightning round, quick questions for you. When you go out to eat, does it bother or offend you that the server waiter offers you appetizers, dessert, liquor, tries to upsell you in general?
No, you know, I'm too close to the business, Andrew. You know, I'm thinking, man, that person listened to their manager. Man, they're well trained. You know, you know, it's like I appreciate the hustle in a way.
Yeah,
you know? I feel like they're doing a good job because of it.
I want to hire them if I still owned a bar.
Exactly.
Have you ever had an experience with a ghost? Do you believe in ghosts?
Oh, man. No, I mean, not. I don't think so. I don't think that I've got some belief. I don't know, Andrew. What do you think? Do you think they're real?
I don't know what to believe. I'm open to this. I'm open to the supernatural. I love when I get a question that you have no idea what to say. That's my favorite thing. I love it. Last one, since yesterday was the election, do you have a favorite political movie? There are so many, but do you have any that jump out? It's one if you haven't thought about it. It's hard for them to jump out to you, but does any strike you as your favorite?
Yeah. What jumps out to me when I watch campaigns is Veep. I mean, it's not a movie, but the scenes, the stuff for the cameras, you know, all that, you know, calling people on the phone and pretending and the phone's not really on, like that type of stuff is what I think of. So, yeah, not necessarily a big presidential movie, but I think that would be Veep is just I always enjoyed it. I thought it was funny.
Well, if I can say this without sounding too old, people your age are more likely to answer with a series they watched online rather than a movie anyway.
So,
you know, that's representative, reflective. Mayor D.C. Reeves, always appreciate the time, sir. We'll look forward to the city council meeting and the agenda conference next week and all the information, the ribbon cuttings, the openings, and the lights coming on today. And we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thank you, Andrew.